Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Some of you get to watch church in your pajamas. That's a little unfair, I think. So we have to be here, but we're glad to be here with you. And, you know, it's one of those things this week is, you know, we started this series in Ephesians, and it's kind of like, you know, should I go and do something else and preach something else that's more relative to our circumstances at this moment? In fact, I'm definitely more of a topical type preacher. I enjoy preaching that way, really hearing from the Holy Spirit what He wants to share with the congregation. But to be completely honest with you, I don't feel like there's anywhere else I'd rather be right now than where we are in the book of Ephesians. So I think that God set us up for this time to be right where we are in this book, and I believe this morning's message will strengthen and encourage you. You know, last week we kind of touched on some of the things that God had installed for the church in Ephesus, which obviously is now installed for us as well. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Naomi mentioned something earlier on. I kind of just want to overiterate this. You know, we are thinking and praying for all of you in South Africa, in Italy, in Greece, in Europe, all the different nations that are connected with us. I personally have family in Europe, in Italy, Greece, and South Africa, so I want to bless you guys. And for all of you as well, I know we have church members that have family members in South America, in Spain, and all the different countries. I want you to know that we are lifting up this entire planet. I've never seen anything like this, where the whole planet, especially believers, are coming together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him for a breakthrough. And so we stand together as the body of Christ this morning, and we pray for strength, we pray for peace, we pray for love, and we pray for joy. And just hold on to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you better believe He's going to get us through this. And I honestly believe a lot faster than most people think or anticipate. So last week, we got into the book of Ephesians, and I'm kind of going to just recap real quick on just a few things. I think it's important that we go there. You can know this, that we'll be in Ephesians 1 most of the time. If you have two Bibles, if you have the luxury of having two Bibles, grab both Bibles. Keep Ephesians 1 open the whole time, or you can follow with us on the screen. I'm sure the guys will post the scriptures for you. But also, if you have a second Bible, when we go to other passages, you can kind of be connected to two parts. And especially later on in this morning's message, I'm going to jump to Corinthians, and we're going to see something that connects so powerfully. And I'm just really excited about that. So, you know, it's one of those things. What do? You sit down and teach? I just have to preach. Is that okay? I really wanted to kind of keep church just the way that it normally is for you guys. And so that's why I just felt in my heart, I'm going to just do church like normal. And so we will continue with church like normal. And I look forward to when we can all be back together here in the building. Amen. So Ephesians 1. And, you know, the message kind of starts out with Paul introducing us a little bit to who he is as an apostle in Jesus Christ. He says to the church, grace and peace to you. And it's interesting because one of the themes in this book, without a doubt, is grace. And we'll see how it is overemphasized as we go on. But there's one thing I want to remind you of before we jump into it. In roundabout verse number 7 is where we kind of left off last week. We'll pick it up from there in just a minute. But I just want to remind you, he says, grace and peace to you. This is verse number 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And this is so powerful. I want you to recognize that he says that it's past tense. In other words, the blessing has already been poured out. It has already been provided to you and I. That he says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, everything we need. And he says that these spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you'll understand why. Because remember, Jesus was sacrificed. He was the lamb that came, that died on the cross. His blood was spilled so that we could be redeemed. And then he died, and then he rose again. And he is seated now at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. So it's because of all of that that took place that we have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we'll understand in just a little bit why that is. Now remember, in Ephesians 2, verse number 6, it also teaches us that we as believers are also seated in heavenly places. And this is important for you to understand. We are seated with Christ. So we need to remember that. That's really, really important. Now, remember that we need to grasp that in verse number 4, it says that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that we should be adopted, that we should be separated. So God has predestined us, He has chosen us, He has separated us for such a time as this, that you are here right now, that He knew you would be here right now. In fact, He set it up long before the foundation of the earth, that you would be here right now. Right now, and He knew you would be going through what we're going through right now. Remember, guys, that Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and I've given you the background. Remember, the church at Ephesus was a church that was walking through an incredible amount of stuff. Yes, it was a great city. It was a powerful city in terms of a modern city of that time. It had great trade routes. It had great education facilities. It had many, many false idol temples that were set up with a lot of Greek and Roman influence. So there was a lot of idol worship, sorcery, and witchcraft. And now is the church of Jesus Christ in this city. And you must understand the challenges that they had. I shared with you out of the book of Acts how Paul begins to preach the gospel in Ephesus, and things get to a point eventually where there's actually a riot because of all the witchcraft books and sorcery books that are actually brought in and burned. And then the blacksmith, the coppersmith, whoever it was, the smiths, they ended up, they were building statues. And while they were building statues, unfortunately, because many were coming to Christ, business began to get bad. So they eventually made, all the guys that, because of the business and trade that was being affected by so many people turning to Christ, there was a great riot. So persecution begins in the church as well. Now, when Paul writes this letter, he's writing to this church. Yes, it's a growing church. It's an abundant church. But there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of things coming against them. There's a lot of idol worship still in the city, and they have to deal with it. At the same time, there's people that have got different doctrines and different beliefs that are coming in and trying to infiltrate the church and cause all kinds of contamination. But Paul wants to remind the church at Ephesus about who they are, about what's been provided for them. And so he does that by doing what he does here in this book. We're going to really break it down this morning. I was about to say this evening. We'll get to this evening. Amen. So he says, let me read to you from verse number 4. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself. So we are also sons according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, listen, we've been set up, we've been created, we've been set up for such a time as this. We are now sons and daughters of the King, but we need to understand it's all according to his will. It's all according to his purpose. The greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction that you will have as a human being, the greatest place of peace you will have is when you are in Christ and you are in the Spirit. When you are walking and being led by the Spirit, fulfilling the purpose and plan that God has for you, that's when you will walk in true peace. That's when you'll have true joy. Amen. Now, then he says this. He says in verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So I want you to note, he's chosen us, he separated us that we should be holy, he separated, consecrated us, set us apart. He's adopted us. These are things we need to know. This is who we are. So Paul is saying, listen, Jesus, from the foundation of the world, was set up a plan. That plan was redemption. You would be saved because of what Jesus did, the exchange on the cross that took place. You would be set up for such a time as this. And I can tell you right now, salvation is a big part of it, but it goes beyond that. And he's going to reveal that to us in just a minute. He's basically said to us, listen, in verse number 7, he says it. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And it's interesting here because he introduces us to a concept, the riches of his grace. In other words, if you look at that word riches there, it means extreme wealth, extreme riches. And that is grace. Grace that comes to us. Grace that saves us. Grace that teaches us. Grace that equips us. Grace that empowers us to overcome, to walk through life, to get through what we're facing right now. There's a grace that is available to you. As every single one of us are believers of Christ, in Christ, we have a grace, a riches of grace. And he's going to introduce us to another concept in just a little bit. But I want you to remember that when we get to it in just a little bit later on. There's a riches of grace, and that is the forgiveness of sins. We are now adopted. We are sons and daughters of God. So he's setting you up, giving you an identity, showing you who you are, because he's about to unleash some seriously powerful stuff, and I'm excited about it. Verse number 8 says this, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God has a plan that was not revealed until the death and resurrection of Jesus. That plan was revealed to the Jews and to the Gentiles, which is really, really powerful. Amen. Verse number 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. And it says this, in him. In other words, through him, everything will be resolved. Listen, whether it be here on earth, in our purpose, in our destiny, he will be revealed to you as either your savior or ultimately also as judge. And we need to know that. Everyone will have to face what Jesus has done. Can you say amen? All right, thank you. Just because there's only a few of you doesn't mean you can't say amen. Now, it's very interesting because if you take a look in the scriptures, you'll notice that up until this time, he's addressing everybody. He's talking to the church at Ephesus, but he's addressing both Jew and Gentile. Now he begins by addressing the Jews only. And look at how he speaks. He says, he changes his speech and he goes like this in verse 11. And him also, we, talking about the Jews, have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So the Jews were selected. They were going to be called by him. There was an inheritance for them. And he's addressing them. He goes on in verse 12 that we who first trusted in Christ, the Jews first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. So again, I want you to see he's addressing the Jews. Now he's about to address the Gentiles. In him you, now he's talking to us, also trusted, the Gentiles, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, we've also believed. Now, Jew and Gentile, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you believe, you have a promise. You have an inheritance. And in fact, he goes on and kind of confirms this in verse number 14. The Holy Spirit, remember, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to kind of just quickly summarize. The Holy Spirit who has sealed us and is our guarantee of our inheritance until we get our glorified bodies one day. He's with us. He carries us. He carries everything in him. Everything we have is in us. But he's the one who will reveal everything that God has for us. He will reveal it through the Holy Spirit to us. Your destiny, your purpose, what you're dealing with right now. There's a guarantee. There's an inheritance. Jesus has set it all up. And right now, because of your relationship and because of who you are in Christ, you need to know that what you're dealing with right now, you can deal with because of what you have inside you, which is the Holy Spirit. So, he's already said to us, we are in Christ. We have been adopted. We have been seated in heavenly places. And the Holy Spirit is our guarantee of an inheritance while we are here, until we become glorified one day. And now we're about to get to our sermon for today. Amen. That was the warm-up round. I hope you're ready. I really believe, guys. You know, the church in Ephesus, I just can't help myself, I have to come down the stairs. It wasn't easy with what they were dealing with at that time. They were persecuted. They were in a very, you know, a time of great idol worship. And Paul's writing to them because he wants to strengthen them. He wants to encourage them and he wants to remind them who they are. He wants to remind them who they are, what's available to them, and that no matter what comes against them, they are going to get through it and they've been empowered and equipped to overcome it. They have it all available. So look at how he speaks to them from this moment. He's about to reveal. First of all, he's identified, he's showing them that there's a salvation that's been given to them, that because of salvation, there's riches of grace that abounds towards them to overcome, to walk it out, to do, to fulfill everything you need to until you one day be glorified. All of that has been given to you. And now watch what he's about to say, because it just it's very, very powerful. And I believe this is the word of the Lord to us right now. This is what God is saying to us right now. Verse number 15, Ephesians 1, verse 15. Everybody say, therefore. Therefore. I want you to understand that whenever you see therefore, what it means is he says, I've said all of that. In other words, I've told you that God has predestined you. That God has set you up. He knew you long before you were even born. He predestined you to be born right now. There are spiritual blessings available to you in heavenly places where Christ is seated and you are seated there with him. And you need to know that there are spiritual blessings available for you. And I want to tell you who you are, what your inheritance is. I want you to know that you're going to get through everything. And I've told you all of that to tell you this. Therefore. Look at what he says. I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In other words, I want you to see this because this is powerful. There are two things about this church that he overemphasizes in his address to them here. He says, because of your faith, and because of your love for the saints, which I've heard of. So in other words, he's saying, church, right now, with what you are dealing with, I want you to know that I'm going to even pray for you more. I do not cease to give thanks to Jesus. I do not cease to give thanks to the Lord because of your faith and your love. And listen, guys, right now, with everything going on around us, that's what we need. We need faith and love for the people around us. If we can express and demonstrate that faith and love, you will see, people will see the light of Jesus Christ like never before. And there's something special about encouraging and strengthening your brothers and sisters and people out there. It strengthens you. It strengthens your faith. So Paul is saying, listen, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I do not cease to give thanks for you, to you. I do not cease to pray for you. I'm grateful for the fact that you are a church that walks in faith, that walks in love. In other words, listen, church at Ephesus, there are things going on around you. You are facing different circumstances, but I know that you have faith. I know that you have love for one another. And so I'm praying for you. Now he's about to tell us what he's praying for them for. Now watch this. He says in 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is so powerful. So he's saying, listen, you've been called. You've been separated. You've been chosen for such a time as this. You need to know your identity. Now that you know your identity, I want you to understand that there is something I'm continuing to pray for you for. I want you to know that there is something that you must go after. And what he says is, he says this. He says, I do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, here it is, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he wants them to come or to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The word there, may give, is the word didomi, which basically means to grant or to entrust or to allow. Basically, to allow us to have the privilege, to allow us to have the privilege, may grant, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So we want God, He's saying, I want the Father to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who He is. The spirit of wisdom, this is not a wisdom of man. This is not a wisdom that comes from academic understanding. What you need to understand is He says, look at what He says. He says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Small s. So He's saying He wants your spirit. Your spirit must have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Who do we get that wisdom and revelation from? He's already told us that the Holy Spirit is the one who is our guarantee, that the Holy Spirit is the one who seals us. So it's the Holy Spirit with your spirit that will begin to give you a wisdom and a revelation and a knowledge and understanding of who God is. You will not get this kind of wisdom. You will not get this kind of revelation. The word revelation is the word apokalypsis, which basically means, you know, to uncover what was previously hidden. Revelation, to be able to see, be able to understand. This is not something that you can get from a natural person or a natural man. This is something that will come through the Spirit. So what He's saying is that the Holy Spirit will minister to your spirit, and as He ministers to your spirit, you will begin to have revelation. You will begin to get wisdom, and you will begin to understand who God really is. This is very powerful. This is very, very powerful. He wants us to have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. He wants you to know Him, not just know about Him. In other words, the Holy Spirit will begin to unveil, to begin to fold, begin to show you, teach you who God really is. That word knowledge of Him, that word knowledge there actually means experiential knowledge. So it's not academic knowledge. The Holy Spirit will begin to show you who God is, and then through your life, He will begin to reveal to your spirit just how awesome God really is. That where God says, I am your shelter, I am your strong tower, I am your refuge, you will actually, in your spirit, begin to understand and know that that's who God really is, and it will be your portion. Do you see how powerful this really is, guys? As we grow in the knowledge and the revelation of who God is, we will begin to learn more about who He is. We will begin to learn more about what He is, how wonderful He is, how good He is, how He's a provider, how He's a protector, how He's our strong tower, how we can rely on Him. And it will become revelation. In other words, it's not just knowledge. It's not just like, well, you know, God parted the Red Sea. You will begin to understand that God is all powerful, that He can part the ocean. Listen, if He can part the ocean, when you walk into the shopping center, He can part coronavirus as well. Can you say amen? He will protect you. He will keep you safe. You need to understand this. And He will only reveal this to you by His Spirit. Now, He says this. He says, in verse number 17, in the B part, he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Why? Why does He say that? Because in verse 18, He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. In other words, when you begin to understand who God really is, what's going to happen is your understanding, that word understanding there is so powerful. It's the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, will begin to be enlightened, and that you will know what is the hope of His calling. So now He's told you who you are. He's already prepared you. He's showed you. He's given you an identity. Now He's saying, listen, not only have I equipped you, not only are you positionally in Me, but now I want you to know that there is a hope of calling that is specifically for you. But it's His calling for your life. When you have this hope, how many of you know that faith is the evidence of things hoped for? the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you begin to have hope, your faith begins to rise. Your faith begins to increase. The more hope that you get because of the future and the plan that God has from you, which is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, that's when you begin to have this incredible hope, because you know that not only has God set you apart for salvation one day, equipped you and empowered you to just get through everything, but He actually has a plan for you. He actually has a plan for your life. So it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter what you're experiencing right now. God has a plan for right now. There is a hope of the calling on your life that He has placed on your life, and He will get you through it right now. In other words, before the foundation of the earth, God knew you would be right here where you are right now, and has already provided everything to you and for you, because He's got a calling on your life. Because you are a son and a daughter of God. You can have faith. You can be strong in the Lord, knowing that He's going to get you right through this, no problem. He knew it already before it happened that you would be here. So if you surrender your life to Him, if you're walking with Him, if your life is dedicated to Him to fulfill the purpose and the plan that He has, He'll get you through it. Can you say amen? Thank you for that solitary amen right at the back there. You in the front don't count. Now He says, in verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And watch this. And what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. In verse number 7, He tells us about the riches of His grace. And here He tells us about the riches of His glory of His inheritance in the saints. So I want you to know that there are two types of riches that God has equipped you with. Riches of grace to get you through everything. But there is also a glory that is placed in you, which you give back to Him. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all the honor. But He will shine through you. There will be a glory that will be revealed in you that will shine out. Can you say amen? And there's a riches of that that will be in every single one of us. Grace and glory. Those are the two riches that He talks about in Ephesians 1 that are so, so powerful. So, so powerful. Now, I want to read this to you again, and then I want to jump to 1 Corinthians and just kind of open this up for you a little bit. All right. So, I want you to see this. Okay? He says this, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This is so powerful. Let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9. Remember, He wants your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, to be enlightened. How are they enlightened? When you come to the knowledge of Him. How? The Holy Spirit's the one who reveals it to your spirit. Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Listen, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So it's the Spirit that reveals them to our spirit. Look at what He says. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God. Watch this. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Isn't that powerful? I want you to see it. So when God begins to open your eyes, when you begin to have revelation, when you begin to have understanding, He will reveal to you the purpose and the plan that God created you for. Everything you need, spiritual blessings in heavenly places will be provided and revealed to you. They've been freely given to you. All we have to do is begin to walk with Him, begin to have understanding who He is, how powerful He is. Amen. 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 So let's go back to Ephesians 1, verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. So we now need to know. The first thing is He wants you to have a grasp who you are, your identity. Now He wants you to understand that there is a calling. You've been separated. There's a calling. There's a purpose. And the one who will teach you and reveal to you what that is as you come to the knowledge of God, which will be revealed to your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me, guys? Okay. Now, that's not all He wants you to know. He wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know your purpose. He wants you to know your destiny. He wants to know that He's got you right here where you are. And He's about to say something that we need to pay attention to. Go to the next verse for me, please. Verse number 19. And. Everybody say and. And. So He's given us salvation, identity, the Holy Spirit who unlocks everything, purpose and calling. And now He says, and I want you to know. I want you to know. And. What is the exceeding greatness? This is very powerful. He's basically saying here, the word greatness there in the Greek is the word megathos. In other words, what it means is limitless or vast. What is the exceeding greatness of His power? The word power there is dunamis, towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty, which is also a Greek word called ischus, which is also a power. So he's busy giving us words here, Greek words that are so powerful and so rich, that basically describe His greatness of His power and His energy. The word working there is actually the word God's energy, which is working towards us. This incredible power. Where do we see this power? He reveals it to us in the next verse. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. So what He's saying is that there's this power which is working towards us who believe. Can you say amen? This great power, which is working towards us, He wants you to know that it is great, exceeding greatness. It's a limitless power that is working towards us, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Now, you have this power in you. This power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead and also seated Him in heavenly places. Remember, Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. So we know He's raised Christ, and the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you to do everything that He's told you, everything that He's just said to you, who you are, your identity. He's told you about your purpose, your calling. Now, how are you going to get there? How are you going to do it? Well, He wants you to know that there's a limitless power that is available to you that will get you through everything. And He's about to show it to us in a very, very powerful and spiritual way. So you need to know that there is a power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that is now working in us, that is available to us to get us through what we're facing right now. Imagine, church in Ephesus, what you're dealing with, the different types of oppression, the different types of attacks, the persecution, you know, the witchcraft, all the stuff you're dealing with. I want you to know that you've been chosen, that you've been separated, that you're a son of God. And I want you to know that as you grow in the knowledge of who God is, as the Holy Spirit begins to reveal more and more to you, to your spirit, not not mental, not academic knowledge, spiritual knowledge. As you actually begin to learn who God really is, so you will begin to grow. And there will be a power that's available to you. Where is it? In heavenly places. As you connect with God, as you're walking in the Spirit, as you're having relationship with Him, you will begin to grow stronger and stronger. And there is a power that's already been made available to you to get you through everything that comes your way. Every challenge, every demon, every principality, every power, everything that comes against you, you have the power to overcome it. Because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So what happens is, when we are in life like it is right now, when everything is challenging, what do we do? Do we allow the things of this world to affect us? Do we submit to what the world is saying? Or do we, in the circumstances, submit to God, knowing fully well that He already predestined us for right now, and that He's equipped us and empowered us with everything we need to get through this? Not only has He equipped us and empowered us, but there's actually a power working in us to deal with this the way that we've been created to. You see, most people will deal with this, or try and deal with this, in the natural. But we know that the battle is not against flesh and blood. So where is the battle? The battle's in the Spirit. Now watch what He says, and then we're going to wrap this thing up this morning. Verse number 20. Let's read verse number 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places? Now look, far above, everybody say far above, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fulfills all in all. What you need to understand is that because... Don't you want to go in the drums for me quickly? Please. Please, Antonio, thank you. What I want you to understand, church, is that He is saying to you that He has provided you with everything you need to face what you're facing right now. He wants you to understand that you've been saved by grace, that you've been redeemed by grace. He wants you to understand that there's a calling, there's a destiny, there's a purpose. You have a hope because of who He's called you to be. Now He says to you, because of who you have been called to be, I want you to know that I've also given you power. Power to overcome everything. Power to face every challenge. And He names different types of power. Dominion, authority, everything you need. He's given it to you so that you can overcome every principality, every power, every dominion, everything that thinks it can stand. I want you to know that includes even the coronavirus. It doesn't matter what comes against you. It doesn't matter what stands before you. The battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers. And I want you to know that you've been given that power that raised Christ from the dead. It has been placed on the inside of you, and it doesn't matter what comes against you. You can face it right now with that power on the inside of you, equipped, empowered, a son and daughter of God. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. No plan of the enemy can withstand against you. You can overcome it because He did it, and He's seated above all those forces. Listen, if the battle's not against flesh and blood, if it's against powers and principalities, and this thing, even though it may be a virus, let me tell you something. I speak to the virus right now in the name that is above every name. And just like every power and principality will bow its knee, I say to you now, coronavirus, in the lives of every believer and everyone listening right now, I want you to know that you will be an overcomer, that you have been empowered and equipped. You've been set apart for such a time, and you will overcome. And you will get through this in the name that is above every single name. You have been seated. You have been given this power. You can give the Lord a shout and a clap right where you are. Yeah! Hallelujah. 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 I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, right now, in the name that is above every name. Lord, like it was with the church at Ephesus in that day, that you have prepared everything for us. Lord, like it was when Paul wrote this letter to the church, he wanted them to know who they are, that there is love and there's faith working in their lives. And he continues to pray that, Lord, we would come to the revelation and the knowledge of who God really is. And as we discover his greatness and his wonders and his mercy and his grace and everything we need, Father, so we will come to the hope of our calling in the name of Jesus. And we will walk with you, Father. And we will face every challenge, every obstacle, every virus, everything the enemy brings against us. And in the name that is above every name, your word declares that Jesus was seated above everything. Above everything. And so in the name of Jesus, we declare it this morning over our lives, over the lives of everyone watching right now. I want you to know that it has already been written. This was written thousands of years ago, and it applies to you right now. You watching right now, this applies to you. Take this word in the name that is above every name. You have the authority you need. You have the power you need. In the name of Jesus, and because of what he did, you will get through this. You will get through it. You will get through it. And so, Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory, Father, for you have provided. You have provided everything. Father, I'm amazed, Lord. When I look at your word, it's like you wrote this for us right now. It's like, Father, as we go through this in this time, Lord, I know that there is a power that is far greater than any virus, than any demon, than anything that the enemy throws against us. And that power is working in us because of the blood of Jesus that has been spilt for us. Now, Father, we desire to fulfill our destiny, to fulfill our purpose. And that begins by loving you with all of our hearts. And so we surrender our hearts to you this morning. We surrender our lives to you this morning. If you're watching this morning and you've heard this word, I want to encourage you. I want you to be strengthened. Listen, all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and your name will be written in the book of life, and this promise that I read to you this morning will be your portion as well. Father, I pray for every single congregation member watching. Strengthen them, Lord. Let the words in this book, Father, encourage them and strengthen them. Father, I give you thanks. I give you praise and all the glory and honor. For there is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. We love you, Jesus. Father, I pray for peace right now. For everyone watching. Strengthen them, Father. Encourage them. Let the words in your book bring them life. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let your faith arise this morning in this place. Let it arise in the name of Jesus. Be of good courage. Do not fear. For the Lord your God, he is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you will get through this. In fact, you will get through this greater than what you were before you started this. And so, Father, I give you thanks and praise. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with every one of you that is watching this morning. Be strengthened, be encouraged, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And so we give you thanks and praise. Amen and amen. Church, I just want to encourage you this morning. Take the word of God. The word of God, it is like a sword. It is like a hammer. It is powerful. And you must, when you're feeling low, don't allow the things of this world. Listen, we are in this world, but we have a different economy. We have a different kingdom that we are in. We are in the kingdom of God, and God will get you through. He will provide for you throughout this situation. I want you to know that we're available. If you have prayer requests, please post your prayer requests. We love you. And listen, we'll be back tonight. I'm excited. I have a word from you for you from basically, I'm going to be taking something out of where I've been preaching and really going into something that will open your eyes tonight, and hopefully you'll be strengthened and encouraged. God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.